That motion.
I'll make that a motion.
All right, we have a motion by Gordon Hargrove that we go into executive session. Is this in regard to the personnel?
Well, it's in regards to the vote. I'd like to discuss in person, in private.
I don't believe that is an area that can be covered in executive session unless there's some people involved in it.
There's some people involved.
We can discuss personalities, but we'll have to disclose the role and what we're talking about when we come out. That'd be fine. But I have one other item that I'd like to add to that, and that's the, once again, discuss the ordinance that was passed. One word in the ordinance is that we passed in regard to our personnel policy that I would like to go over again with you today. I think it bears going over one word in that ordinance. And if you would add that to your request, I appreciate it. All right. We have a motion and a second that we go into executive session. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
We'll be in executive session for approximately 15 minutes.
Judge, I'd like to make one comment here. I've been over a lot of the county roads the last few weeks, and the road department's done a commendable job getting those roads back in shape after the mess that they were in earlier in the spring. Some of them are still old. You can tell where they've been.
Yeah. We've got a lot of work to do. We appreciate the comment, Dennis. I think John and his crew are doing a real good job. We just hope that the weather will fire up, and so we'll be able to. We do have some areas that we still got some water over some roads, some backwater down in the Elvie community. Might add, Judge Guffey is having a real problem. All of you know Judge Guffey over in Ballard County. They're having to evacuate some more people in Wickliffe, and the river is not crested yet. And down in some of the low-lying areas, of course, they're holding back the water on the lake. I'm just hoping that we don't have problems. If we have a windstorm, I'm afraid our marinas up and down the lake would suffer greatly, as they did several years ago, if you remember. And I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that don't happen this time, because when that backwater gets over the breaks and a lot of these marinas, and then the wind gets up, those waves just tear those marinas all to pieces. So maybe that won't happen. We'll be in executive session for 15 minutes. For the benefit of the press and those interested people that are here, in executive session we discussed the county's position in taking over an additional road. We asked that John Holland, the road superintendent, take a look at the road, report back to the court on the feasibility of the county accepting that road for maintenance. We also discussed in the court meeting, and we need to get a motion on this, that we allow the city of Benton to borrow our Graydall and use an operator, our operator, the city bearing the expenses, to do some ditch work here in the city of Benton on a Saturday. And arrangements will be made between John Holland and Joe Penny, the city maintenance supervisor. Do I hear a motion that we allow the city to use that piece of equipment? Motion by Wayne Lovett, second by Gordon Hargrove. All in favor of the motion, say aye. Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. The public was informed by way of the Marshall County Messenger and the Tribune Courier of a public hearing set for 11 o'clock this morning. The public will take notice that an application has been filed with the Marshall County Fiscal Court by Stephen Davis, Gilbertsville, Kentucky, for a permit to operate a place of entertainment. The nature of entertainment shall consist of a restaurant with pinball machines and dune buggy rides located near Gilbertsville, Kentucky on Highway 641. More specifically, these are the railroad cars located on the right before you get to the Bel Air Motel. All persons either for or against or who have any direct interest therein are invited to a public hearing to be held Tuesday, April 17, 1979 at 11 a.m. at the Marshall County Courthouse, Benton, Kentucky. The county attorney did do a background investigation, I believe, as Joanne told you earlier. The hours of operation are proposed from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. Steve Davis is here. Most of you might be as me and know him as Louie. Louie has been chef at Kentucky Down Village for some time. Stand up, Louie. So I think most of these people know you. They probably wouldn't know you as Stephen Davis, but we've seen you at the dam. The purpose of a public hearing is to get public input before we decide whether or not to issue an entertainment permit. We will hear the public input this morning, and then at the next regular session of the court meeting, we will vote whether or not to grant this permit. If I understand the county attorney's report, he has investigated, and he will be making his recommendation at the next court meeting. Is there anyone here in the presence of this court this morning in opposition to the entertainment permit for Stephen Davis to operate a restaurant and dune buggy rides near Kentucky Down Village, Gilbertsville?
I live right near there, and I'd like to know about these dune buggies. Are they going to be the real noisy type?
Steve? You're going to start with just the sandwich type operation, restaurant, sandwiches, short order, and the dune buggy. Is that correct, Steve?
How big a track are you going to have, Steve?
As big as I can light it. I hadn't got it all cleared off yet. I'll be over half a mile track.
Are you back behind the car?
Kind of the side of it.
Well, of course, any time a nuisance occurs, a person has the right to file with the county attorney a complaint, and the court would have the obligation at any time such a complaint is has been issued to withdraw the permit. In other words, the sheriff can, if excessive noise levels become a nuisance to the neighborhood, then the people of that neighborhood would have the option to come before the county attorney and issue a complaint.
At any time?
At any time, yes, sir.
It's all right. Just don't want to be kept up with some bikes going on, because it's right on the hill there, and that's not very far from where I live. I live right off of Ridge Road.
How far is that before you live? You said 11 miles. Do you know the distance?
About a half.
Are you close to, how far you live from go-kart track that's in existence down in there?
Just about the same.
You're about between the two?
Yeah. See, there's a farm right near there. And he'll have the hill right there below that farm.
But let's see now, where you're talking about. Now, see where he's talking about. You got where he's putting his railroad cars on the hill, and you got another hill. You would have another hill before you get to your place. So he'd have to have a jet airplane before you could hear that one. Because that's across the field, that's a good mile.
just say the go-kart track that exists now, has been existing for about 10 years. Is it as close to you as what he was going to build? I did understand you say yes.
Oh, yes. The go-kart.
Yes.
That doesn't bother us.
No interference whatsoever.
Seems like he's the other side.
You are as close to the go-kart track to it as you will.
Just about the same
this. Okay, that's what.
Well, I really feel that what he's got is very interesting, because I've had the experience of riding these, what do you call them? Dune buggies out around the fork up in Upper Michigan. You drive over the sand, you know, and all of a sudden you see the lake down there, and you come up a hill and you think you're going to fly into the lake and you go down. It's thrilling.
I'm assuming all safety measures will be taken, precautions will be taken, right, Steve?
Steve, does that have seat belts or bars or something?
Has seat belts and roll bars, roll bar bumpers.
Is there any other comments? Selling all the hamburgers, though.
Yeah. Well, it's a shame that those two cars are not doing anything. If he opens a good restaurant in there, why, it should be a lot of business.
Well, I think he'll do well with, you know, with the short orders and everything, because when, of course, Devani's caters mostly to dinners, and Kentucky Dam Village, of course, they close their dining room at about 9 o'clock. And so there's not really a sandwich shop after 9 o'clock, you know, people can get something. So I think he'll do well. I think you get a lot of beach traffic, too, from the people leaving the beach, stopping by and getting a sandwich. I think he'll do well. They have sandwiches there? I didn't know. I've never bought a sandwich there. I've bought ice cream there. I didn't even know they had sandwiches.
Don't they have them, I mean, these machines like they put in this microwave?
No.
They make them
go by the wing and the bun.
Is there any other comments, either for or against the entertainment permit under consideration? No, you do it once unless otherwise specified with the court. Of course, it's subject to review by any of the neighbors that would have an objection for a nuisance, noise, or whatever. Have to come back to the court for an additional permit. That's correct. That is correct. In other words, Steve has set out pinball machines in his application, although he's not going to have them beginning. But if he goes anywhere beyond that, then he'd have to come back, explain to the court what he's going to do. Any other comments? All right, Steve, thank you for coming. We'll have the vote at the next regular court meeting. And hearing no objections, I see no problems.
May 1st.
May 1st. First day of May. Permit can be issued at that time. Not necessary unless you want to be. Of course, if you want to be, and immediately after the court acts, go to the clerk, pick up your permit. County clerk. All right, gentlemen, I have an executive order pertaining to the grant of an entertainment permit to Tom Hoover. As you know, the court granted the entertainment permit subject to some specifications. I'd like to read this to you. It does not have to be acted upon. It's merely for your information. An application having been made and filed by Thomas R. Hoover for the granting of an entertainment permit to operate a recreation room at a grocery store in Palma, Marshall County, Kentucky, and two public hearings having been had on this matter, and the judge executive having been sufficiently advised in the insurance of an entertainment permit being approved by the Marshall County Fiscal Court. An entertainment permit is issued based on the aforesaid application subject to the following conditions. A. As agreed to by the applicant, this entertainment permit is a temporary permit and expires 6 months from and after the date of issuance. However, an automatic permanent extension of the license will be issued unless the judge executive directs otherwise based on complaints received by citizens or law enforcement officials. The recreation room shall operate under this entertainment permit from 6 a.m. until 12 midnight on Friday and Saturday nights and until 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday nights. This recreation room shall not operate at all on Sunday. The recreation room shall be open to the inspection at all times by law enforcement officials and shall be so instructed that the interior is observable from the outside of the premises and the front window shall remain in the present unobtrusive state. There shall be an adult supervisor present at the premises at all times that the recreation room is in operation. There shall be no gambling, drinking of intoxicating beverages, or use of controlled substances in or around the premises. There shall be no loud noise or disturbance of the peace or unruly activity in or around the premises, which disturbs the peace of those neighbors living in the area. It shall be the responsibility of the operator to see that the automobiles of patrons of the recreation room are parked so as to avoid any interference with travel on the paved portion of the public highway in front of the recreation room. The operator shall see that the premises are kept clean and that there is no litter or trash built up in the parking lot or around the exterior of the building. Approved of the Marshall County Fiscal Court in open session on the third day of April, 1979. Put into effect on this date. Gentlemen, is there any other business that needs to come before the court? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting. Motion by Harvey Devine, second by Gordon Hargrove. All in favor say aye. This meeting is adjourned.
No, I've had it. Quite a while.
Gentlemen, we'll call the meeting of the Marshall County Fiscal Court to order. We have the minutes of the last meeting of the regular session of the Fiscal Court held on April 3rd. We will read the minutes if you desire. If not, we'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as written. Or if you want us to read them, we'll read them. What's the pleasure of the court?
Read them, Joe.
All right. Marshall County Fiscal Court met at the courthouse in Benton, Kentucky at 9:30 a.m. This being a regular court day, presiding was Mike Miller, County Judge Executive. The minutes of the previous meeting were read, approved, and signed. The following duly elected magistrates were present and took part in the meeting: Wayne Levitt, Gordon Hargrove, Harvey Devine. Roger Perry, duly elected county attorney, was also present for the meeting. Barbara Searles, Marshall County Librarian, came before the Fiscal Court requesting funds in the amount of $4,000 to help for the purchase of equipment for the library in Calvert City. A motion was made by Harvey Devine, second by Gordon Hargrove, to give the Marshall County Library Board the sum of $4,000 to help with the purchase of new equipment for the library at Calvert City. All court members voted aye. Steve Poole appeared before a resident of Marshall County, spoke to the court about the petition to place a tax on the ballot in the May election to fund an ambulance service in Marshall County. A motion by Magistrate Harvey Devine, seconded by Magistrate Gordon Hargrove, to issue a temporary permit to Tom Hoover to operate a place of entertainment in the Palma community based on the following regulations and restrictions. A copy of those are included in the county attorney's office of the restrictions, hours for the operation of the entertainment center in Palma. All magistrates voted aye. A motion by Magistrate Wayne Levitt, second by Magistrate Harvey Devine, to adopt the following resolution concerning disaster emergency service. All voted aye. That is also a part of the record. A motion by Wayne Levitt, second by Gordon Hargrove, to enter into executive session for discussion on personnel policy. All voted aye. Upon reentering back into regular session, a motion was made by Gordon Hargrove, seconded by Harvey Devine, to let stand the resolution adopted by the Fiscal Court at its meeting on May the 20th day of March 1979. All voted aye. A motion by Magistrate Gordon Hargrove, second by Wayne Levitt, to pay all bills with the exception of H.G. Shaw Equipment Sales and Fulton Distributors. These were two bills that were contested. We asked that they be looked into. Dan, have we heard anything from those bills? Okay.
I heard a good chewing on the phone one day last week about the battery deal out there at the course of the guy that said about the battery deal.
Which way was the chewing?
Well, the guy started in to chew John, but John chewed back, so I don't know how they finally wound up. They got pretty hot, and I laughed.
And then we had a motion by Gordon Hargrove, second by Wayne Levitt, that we adjourn the regular meeting of the April 3rd session of the Marshall County Fiscal Court. Is there any corrections or additions to the minutes? If not, we'll ask for approval of the minutes. Motion by Wayne Levitt, second by Gordon Hargrove, that we approve the April 3rd minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion carries. We have some guests with us this morning. We do have a rather small agenda today for a change. We don't have a rather lengthy agenda. We have several items we do need to take up, but I think the agenda is kind of thin from what it usually is. The first guest we have today, I'd like to introduce, I think he's a stranger to anybody, Mike Gatton, the pastor of the First Christian Church in Benton, and also the coach of the Special Olympics basketball team. Our Special Olympics squad not only won the Kentucky State Championship, they went to Illinois. In Illinois, they were chosen to go on to international competition, I believe, isn't it, Mike? There's going to be several countries competing in a tournament in New York, and the Marshall County team was selected to represent this region in international competition in New York. So, Mike, I think you have a couple of fellows with you. I'll give you the floor.
Right. I brought with us Puff Driver. I'll use your nickname. And this is Pee Wee York. And we call him Magic now after a couple of passes in the tournament up there. But we would like, on behalf of the Special Olympics team, to say thank you, first of all, for your support throughout the years. thank you especially for the support early this year that allowed us to go to Memphis and some other tournaments that we thought prepared us better to play as we got towards the end of our season. The $500 that you approved over the phone that covered our cost to normal, we would not have been able to make the trip because we were totally depleted on funds. We were waiting on checks from the governor, and it wasn't coming, and we were going to buy them, and the fellas again came through. Got the money to us in time so that we can make the trip to normal and play in the Great Lakes Regional Tournament. We placed second in the tournament. We'd like to show you all the trophy and we placed second in the tournament in Normal, which is a national regional, and that's what means we're runner up in the nation. There are eight national regional tournaments. The Chicago team, however, because they were playing 22 and 23-year-old guys, and that's a little bit beyond the range, especially to pick in our division, and because of the conflict they were having with the Illinois Special Olympics people, the total committee of the region up there voted because of the heart that our kids showed. They were the smallest team in the tournament. Our biggest man is Buck, he was 6'1". His hair is 6'5", but he's 6'1". We played a team that on the average was about 6'4 and 6'5, probably, their overall height. But the heart that our kids showed throughout the tournament got them to be able to go on to Rockport, New York in August for the international games, which happens only every 4 years. The last time they had it, we were the first year program, and we didn't even get by the first round of the national. But this year, these kids have played with more heart than any team I've ever had. They're the smallest group we've had, and not the quickest group, but they play together better than any bunch we've ever had, and you just can't imagine them anymore. And they went up there and really represented the county well. I would like to say that the Rockport trip, it's the first time a Kentucky team has ever qualified in 5 years of Special Olympics to go to an international tournament. And we're excited about it. The state of Kentucky is excited with us. We'll try our best to represent both the state and especially our county well in Rockport, New York. Appreciate, again, all the support of the fiscal board and the magistrates and Mike and have always been a thank you. And we want to bring the trophy by and show it to you and express our thanks to you.
Mike, I had an Area Development District meeting last night, and I understand they had a kickoff last night for the fundraising drive to send our team to New York. Did they lay any plans for any specific fundraising? I might catch us up on what we're going to do.
Country singing at Jonathan Elementary on the 27th. That's their first effort. We're negotiating with the Spear family and the Camps Quartet to come in for sometime in July and have a fish fry and singing with those professional groups. Also, there's several other projects that are in the mill that are Special Olympic print that has come out for non-injury rule and we gave it to Kentucky Special Olympics. And we get $8 of it and $7 goes to the state. So this year, for the first time, Kentucky Special Olympics is independent. They're separate from state government. They have their own offices and such. And so it's causing them to have to scramble a little bit for fun, too. But we started our fundraising drive, and I'm happy to say that we're here right now because of salad lunches. One of the churches and the 500 the governor is still sending us. We're still waiting on. I know how you guys feel now. Waiting on funds. That'll put us right around the $1,000 mark and we need approximately $10,000 in order to take our junior high kids to the It's a trip of a lifetime. And even though they won't get to play, they're involved on taking about 18 new kids. We don't try to do it. But our primary goal is to get our 12 there so we can play in the World Cup. There'll be 16 countries represented in addition to the national level. It's quite an opportunity, and I can promise you one thing, that these young men represent the county well, and when they leave there, they know Vermont and County is, and they're very impressed, I think, and I hope our guests will come and behave around that. They represent the really well. Fantastic. Our main purpose for being here this morning is to show thanks. I appreciate it.
Very
much.
What you've done.
We want to pledge to you our continued support for the program, and to the fellows, we want to say congratulations to you and the rest of the team, and we will be supporting you. We will continue to support you and your efforts in the program. We feel very strongly about the Special Olympics program, and I think the fiscal court, in each year that the Special Olympics program has been going, the fiscal court has demonstrated their support for the program and for the young men involved. I'm still hoping that the school board will get that same spirit of cooperation and commitment and come through and help also. But best of luck to you, fellas, and we'll be working with you in your fundraising efforts to assure that.
Thank you, fellas, and we appreciate it. Everybody, for your support.
Okay, we'll see you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else here today that needs to address the fiscal court? All right, moving down in the area of correspondence, gentlemen, the Marshall County Homemakers would like to have an appreciation luncheon for the county fiscal court. They would like to have this luncheon on May the 11th. That's a tentative date. They want to set it when all the magistrates, the county attorney, all the members of the court can be present. And it will probably be somewhere here in Benton. Ms. Jarvis was in to talk to me yesterday and said they had set May the 11th as a tentative date. And it will be a come-as-you-are luncheon. You know, I told her that, you know, that Gordon worked, Wayne worked, Bubby was on swing. We might have to switch around for him. But I knew all of you would want to attend because these girls are wanting to show their appreciation for the court's help and the cooperative program every year. So mark that on your calendar if you can on May the 11th, and I'll get with you as to the place. It will be at the noon hour sometime on May the 11th. Getting down into the area of old business, as you know, we held a public hearing at the last fiscal court meeting in regard to an entertainment permit for Kenneth Story to construct and operate a roller rink in the Draftonville area. There was no opposition voiced at that meeting. There has been no opposition voiced to my office. There has been comments of support, pledges of support for Kenneth and his family as they go into this endeavor. And as is the policy, we have the public hearing one meeting and have the vote at the following meeting. This morning I would ask, and my recommendation would be, that we approve the entertainment permit for the Kenneth Story family to build and operate a roller rink in the Draftonville area. Motion by Gordon Hargrove. Second by Harvey Devine. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Kenneth, good luck to you. What? All right. Get on with it.
I would have put one thing in there to work out the skate one time for nothing.
I'll tell you what. I'll pay to see you get out there and skate one time.
You won't have
to. Okay. Moving into the area of new business. Or is there any other old business that needs to come up? I don't have anything on the agenda. The area of new business, surplus property. Daniel?
Yes, this is
stuff that's been taken out of the courthouse that's located down in the basement. Old light fixtures, doors, a bunch of stuff that we'd like to get rid of. Sell it?
What do we take bids on?
Take bids on it, or wholesale, or some way to dispose of it, you know, and authorize somebody to dispose of it.
Well, I think it would be illegal if the fiscal court entered an order that that's what they wanted to do. I don't know how we would advertise. I don't know what all items we have.
But there's so much stuff down there that I believe if you just take a look at it.
I think a lot of it's going to have to go to the landfill.
Right. You know, strictly.
But there are things that some people have expressed an interest, you know, and I just say, hey.
Some of the old light fixtures.
I'm not telling you to take nothing.
I said something about an old window. The guy said, no, something about a piece of paneling.
That's right. That's right,
some
friend.
Some of the stuff, you know, it's just cluttered.
You want to know about this surplus property, talk to me and Jerry English. We can tell you all about it.
Well, why don't we just have it?
Called me and Jerry more grief.
They removed the whole shebang.
Advertised for anybody to come look and submit a bid for the surplus down there. And
plus what goes to Jeff too.
And we'll have a bid opening court.
When they bid, they take the whole thing,
clean it out.
Have an option, you can buy what you want, then you get all it up.
It's fine with me. Let's see how we want to word this thing. Now, you want to make a motion that we advertise that we have several surplus items located in the basement of the courthouse, and we'll take sealed bids for. In other words, they're going to have to, if they bid, they're going to have to bid on everything. Not just one item or.
The surplus be determined by Herman Ford, because the sheriff does have, you know, some stuff stored down there which wouldn't sell it.
You're right. Jay?
Somebody to tell.
Well, the United States on surplus property does advertise that, and often and all, I've done a lot of often. I will auction it off for the county if they want it auctioned.
It don't matter.
You got an auctioneer.
Get more money out of it that way than any other way you can sell it.
Well, that's true.
I get it. It's not too much value to give it.
There's some light fixtures and some doors.
Has been anything added to it since the last time we done this? How bad you?
Was a bunch of old windows down on you then?
Yeah,
we could go look after the court meeting today, you know, go down and let the masters take a look at it. If you want to.
It don't matter, man. How long do they live in?
That's why we just need to do something.
Well, we need to get
hard to get rid of it.
Nobody wants to auction off, nobody wants to come to the system in the auction with this family.
It might be a little less confusion to have an auction sale, and then you could put the material out there that you were going to sell, and one feller buying the whole caboose, he wouldn't think he was getting one thing. And, you know, it might be a little less confusion there, you know.
Yeah, I could have a truck from the landfill there at that day that what we don't sell we'll take on to the landfill. All right, is there a day you want to set that, or do you want to make a motion just authorizing Dan and I to set a date and advertise in the papers?
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion by Gordon Hargrove that you empower the county judge and Dan Duke to make arrangements for an auction sale to dispose of surplus property located in the basement of the courthouse and to advertise such sale properly in the county newspapers. Second. By Harvey Devine. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. That motion carries.
All right. Good.
Yes.
You can have one man does not have to be a licensed auctioneer to have one light to have one auction. So therefore, I'm not a licensed auctioneer.
there, but I can hold one officer without having a license.
Okay. Yeah, I believe they would excuse us on that anyway. All righty, we'll set her up, Homer. All right, also under the area of new business, state aid road monies, last Thursday morning, Dan and I, along with Judge Guffey and Judge Fallon, met with Governor Carroll for approximately an hour and a half. One of the items we discussed was road monies, and road monies not being available until July 1, and the concern that we have a need now to be getting some blacktop down. Governor Carroll stated to us and asked Guffey and I to contact Ron Reister and his district engineer, Bob Hodges in Paducah, and Fallon to contact the office in Owensboro. But the state people have been contacting contractors, asking that they allow counties to go ahead and buy material and do work with the understanding they will not receive their monies until after July 1, and that most of the contractors are agreeing to this. Now, we'll need to get with Ron Reister and get with the southern states or Southern States and Jim Smith to see if they will agree to this type of arrangement. As far as we're concerned, of course, we have some Object 5 money that we can use in the meantime, but this would be a way of course, if we wait later in the summer, a lot of these contractors, these paving contractors especially, are going to be busy on I-24, 641, a lot of big jobs, and they're not going to want to pull off to do a few county roads. So the feeling that the governor has is that if they will agree to this, we'll try to get it done before July 1, pay them with state monies after July 1, and the district office will assist us in working out the contracts, assuring them that we have X number of dollars, and they will be paid from the state on the drawdown system after July 1. I'll try to have Ron Reister here at our next meeting, or if I can have a special meeting before that with Reister, get everybody together, we'll call a special meeting to discuss this situation.
Judge, would it be possible to do that next Monday?
Well, I can't say. I'd have to check with Ron Reister.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you get Ron.
Be fine with me. If we can get Reister, be fine with me. And then we can notify the newspapers.
Well, that way, I'm going to have to start checking out what we're going to try to do first.
Get in the mood on this thing. Get started.
So if we get money, like I said, get started.
Is the messenger no longer interested in the goings on of the fiscal court? That's Becky Blaine from the Purchase Area Development District.
Oh, I just I saw her sitting there.
I'm sorry, I didn't introduce Becky at the beginning. Becky is the aging planner and works with my committee, and she's been assigned from the ad to cover our fiscal court meetings.
Well, we're not there. It was before they changed it, wasn't it?
Hmm. Well, Charlie's been with us, what, 3 weeks now, Charlie? Yeah. Charlie's hanging on.
He'll be going to Paris, Tennessee, or Florida.
All right. Is there other new business needs to come before the court? Junior, I think you have something you want to discuss with the court in regard to the ambulance service rates. You have the floor.
You know, the summer month, Thursday here, we're going to lose the county too. I've got an 83% collection rate right now with the ambulance service, and that's not included. That's the out-of-staters that come in here. Go home without paying. You know, after you get home, there's no way we can make it pay. We send a letter, write a check. What I've been talking to Roger about it, in order to make up some of the other revenue that we're losing from out of state tourists coming back in here, that we handle it, go home. We're wanting to go up our rates on non-residents, Marshall County.
people live in Marsh County keep a rate the same. But outside, people that come in and try to make up some of the lost money we're losing on non-resident people. I'm wondering, right now the president is charging $30.85 a mile outside the county, which is the cheapest in the region. And I want to keep that as it is for a county resident, but I'm wanting to go up on non-resident county to $50 a dollar a mile outside the county. Try to make up some money I am losing from non-resident. I'm pretty solid money for it.
I do. I mean, within the county, you get $30. No mileage.
Just when we leave the county, like going to Paducah, Murray Hospital, Mayfield Hospital. I'm talking about people that live in Marshall County just stay the same. But the people that come in here, let's say like a guy from Illinois, comes in, like showed you under the list, had a wreck up here, and we bring them to the hospital. When they go home, we said we bill them, and Roger sends them letter out, I guess there's no way that we can, go get $30 or whatever. What I'm trying to do is raise the $20 to make up some of the people that, don't pay now. I say 50% of them pay. 50% don't. And we're still running Livingston County, and the pressure over there is not all that great, and I'm going to look at it in the next 6 months, and if they don't pick up some, they've got their own animal service over there, and they've combined with Livingston Line and Caldwell combined to back each other up. If we don't, the reason why we run Grand River to Lake City is not a long distance call in here. And I was the sheriff over there one day, he said, go ahead and run it because we've just got one ambulance and we can't really handle it. Collection over there, I only got something like 30% collection from Grand River. And it's no use for our county to run a county that has their own ambulance service and lose money. I'm going to look at, Livingston County for the next 6 months pretty hard. We don't do any better over there. I want to come forward again and recommend that we put money in the county all year. Because there's been times, and we'd back them up. Last winter, they had all theirs out and they had a car wreck over there. Sure, we'd back them up in a case like that, but we're around Second Smith and not running. And we've got ours over there and still not making no money. Mm-hmm. You know the situation now, so it's now. That's what I propose.
Well, I'll tell you exactly what I do in a situation like that. I talked to the mayor of Grand Rivers, Mr. O'Brien, and I said, we better talk to him. Well, I'm calling up one over and losing money. If the more animal service we get, fine, but we're not running a charity.
Well, there's a lot of tourists in there, too. We've got a lot of people in there, too.
During the summer months, our business with the animal service is, I don't know what the percentage is, but we do have a lot of tourists that we transport.
Yeah.
Not only from the county area, Ken Lake State Park, Jonathan Creek, Malcolm Creek, Kentucky Dam,
yeah,
but also in the Lake City, Grand Rivers area.
We run LBL quite a bit. PBA requested us in there. They had a lot of trouble with the Livingston Lion County over there. He requested Washington County. They use a lot of helicopters over there. That's why it comes a lot. They said if they needed animals, they requested our service because they were pleased with our service and thought we had the best service around. And they'd rather have us over there. He was just quoting him and he said that he thought we knew what we were doing and had some of those services.
Did you make
the
call anywhere a day or a night? $30 in Washington County.
It's just anyone. Here in town, like it's our road. And another thing to look at, if one of our residents goes to McCracken County, and say there's on I-24 in McCracken County, and wants to have a wreck in McCracken County, and it comes out and costs them 85. That's how come we lose one before for our non-resident.
I had no objection to it. I
wondered
if you were having trouble with
that. Roger researched, I asked him about it first, and he said you wouldn't because that the people in our county are paying revenue on the units, like the tax when they bought our ambulances and they paid part of the salaries down there, and actually
That's the first question I asked Junior, check the legality of it. And we did consult with the county attorney. He said it was legal. In the way of recommendation, I would recommend that we allow the county animal service to raise the rates to non-resident users. A motion by Harvey Devine and a second by Gordon Hargrove that we allow the county ambulance service to raise their rates. I believe it's $20.
15 cents a mile.
Outside the county mile.
Raise the rates $20 to out of county residents. Raise the current rate to $20, which would make it what, Junior? Raise the rate $250 plus 15 cents a mile out of county.
That'd be $1. $1.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Give me the original while I sign it until we put it in the record. So who made the motion here? Yeah, Bubby? We've gone to about every well we know to go to, Dennis. However, we are buying an additional unit with a 50% match from state EMS. We put up 50%, they put up 50%. That new unit should be here in the next week. We've been looking, you know, at any kind of federal program that would help us continue the service without going to the people for a tax. We have found none. We contended that because the federal government and their guidelines put all of our counties into the ambulance business to begin with, that they should continue to help fund it. They don't see it that way. Of course, the state is the same way. We got assistance from the federal and state government the first few years, buying our units, buying equipment, setting the thing up. Comprehensive Employment Training Act has helped us for 5 years, run the program, and then all of a sudden they pull the rug out from under you. They made the guidelines so stringent, Dennis, that the funeral homes here, who had been operating the service for years, just could not operate it. And right. Okay, is there any other new business that needs to come before the court? Robert?
One thing that I believe would be appropriate to inform the court on, I received a communication this morning that it's Lane Tech of the Duke that hopes to build a 60-unit Section 8 housing project in Benton. It'd be similar to the one that's being built that's already here, and that is income adjusted rent assistance. It'll be 8 units, one bedroom, 40 units, two bedroom with one bath, and 12 units. part of our, as a unit of local government, we have to say that this is in compliance with our housing assistance plan that we adopted about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And what housing assistance plan is the goals and timetables for the next 3 years and how many elderly apartments you have now and how many you plan project to build and how many multifamily dwellings you have now and how many project to build. This would fall well within our guidelines. This approving this in our county really poses no problem because it would help us meet our goals and our guidelines. As a matter of fact, we've had no family or large family proposals made up until this time. The only thing where your house can bind you is in a situation like Paducah. People come in like Paducah and developers want to build like a elderly apartment, and according to their house, they've got all the elderly apartments they need, and they need large family dwellings, you know, 3 and 4 bedroom ones, but because they're more expensive for the developers to build, and the developers are in it with the money they're going to make from building this project, they want to build their elderly ones. So you run into problems in situations like that, but we don't have that here. As a matter of fact, we haven't had too much interest in people building multi-unit housing projects. And unless you all have any opposition to this, we will approve that as being consistent with our housing assistance plan. I think if there would be any opposition, it probably comes through either the city council event or possibly the planning and zoning administration, since it is within their jurisdiction as far as to determine if they want these units in their city limits. But Benton doesn't have a housing assistance plan. The county does, and that's why we need to approve that.
Okay, Robert, I believe this proposal has already gone before the city council and the planning and zoning people of the city. I'm not certain, but I'm pretty sure it has. We have, of course, Walnut Court will be adding additional units this year, but the additional units, as I understand it, that they will be building will not even be adequate to cover the waiting list that they have, people who are needing this type of housing. As most of you know, rental property here in Marshall County, not only the city of Benton, but countywide, Calvert City has the same problem. There's just not very much rental property available. And what rental property is available is rather high, if it's anything that's modern and within distance of any of the services. I looked this thing over, and Mr. Peck came to the judge's office back when they were developing this plan. That's why, and he informed me at that time he was going to see the mayor, planning and zoning administrator, who was Volney Bryan, I think, at that time. And I gathered from my conversation with Mr. Peck that he was going to appear before the council and also before the planning and zoning body. Joe Tom could probably tell you for sure whether or not that happened, because I think some of this property is maybe owned by Joe Tom. I don't know. But I have, it does fall within our guidelines. And as far as a court, I can't see that we would have any objection to it unless some of you have some problems with it.
Is it going to cost any money?
No.
Not the county, no. It's going to cost somebody.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I mean.
Only by way of your federal tax dollars, because there will be some federal money involved in it. Anytime you use federal money, I'm assuming some of our money is involved in it.
If I'm talking about what little bad we have here.
No, it's not going to bother us. It's not affect us.
Well, I'll see us get it.
All right, we have a motion. by Harvey Devine that we do recommend to Mr. Fred Porterfield, pass on to him. I think what he's asking that we do is write a letter of endorsement for this project. We have a motion by Harvey Devine that we do endorse the project. Second by Wayne Lovett. Is there any further discussion on this matter? Hearing no discussion, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you.
I might add, we did get our first drawdown check from the federal government yesterday, or got it Saturday, and gave it to Robert and Dan yesterday in the amount of $17,000+, which was our first drawdown on our retrofit grant, which they're still doing some work on the retrofit project, the roof on the courthouse, and they've been putting up storm windows, and all this was done through the retrofit grant that we received back some time ago. Two counties in the state that received the retrofit monies was Marshall County and Owen County, up by Frankfort. So we were lucky to get that money. Some of the buildings that are being winterized, Marshall County Courthouse, Calvert City Hall, the Hardin City Building, the Civic Center in Calvert City.
The City Hall here in the city.
Yes. Any match monies being used in the cities is being reimbursed to the counties from the cities that are using this project. We've already received Calvert's, I believe, or Hardin's. Hardin's match money has already been received. But everybody's paying their proportionate share, although it was the county that received the grant. All right, is there any other new business to come before the court? Did the Honorable County Attorney instruct you to have any words of wisdom for us, Joanne?
I have two or three items here.
All right.
I'd like to report from the county attorney that this is especially for Gordon, that the man who stretched the cable across the road.
We do have a public hearing set for 11 o'clock this morning on this particular request. Some of you might not recognize the name Stephen Davis. Louis Davis, you might recognize the name Louis. He's the sheriff down at Kentucky Dam Village State Park and has been for some time. Born and raised in Calvert City. What's his dad's name? His mother's a school teacher. But he was born and raised in Calvert City and been a sheriff at the dam for 5 years. And he's leased the two railroad cars, be more specific, you know, where Dr. Trailer and him put in the railroad cars down at the dam. He's going to be selling sandwiches, short order, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, things of this nature, and have a dune buggy track. He's got into a contract with, I guess, whoever makes these dune buggies. And it's kind of like a go-kart track, but it's dune buggies. You drive the dune buggies.
Whereabouts is going to be located?
There where the two railroad cars are on the way to Kentucky Dam on the right. Steve will be here at 11 o'clock, and we'll hold off any discussion until that time we convene the public hearing on his request.
Thank you.